Welcome Center after the service, along with some of our leaders. And if we can help you in any way, we're here to help you. We love you. We're Living Faith Church, and we're faith that you can see as we gather, as we grow, and as we go. That's our heartbeat. That's our mantra. Faith that you can see. We just don't want a dead faith. We want to see a living faith. That's what we call living faith today. And so we're going to probably paint that on the wall somewhere. That way we can always know what we're about, our mission, our purpose. We're faith that you can see as we gather, we're a going church. And let's welcome live our Facebook audience too, because we're going to them in their homes, and they're watching on their screens, their phones, and so forth. And so we're grateful that you're here again. If you're ever in the San Antonio area, some of you are in Florida, some of you are in Georgia, and you send us notes, and we're so grateful for that. There are over 200 people probably watching the telecast, and we thank God for that. You can come to San Antonio, be part of Living Faith Church. If you're in San Antonio and you're watching this, but you belong to another church, you need to stay at your church. That sounds strange, doesn't it? We're not fishing for other people. We're not about that. But we want sinners to come. If you don't have a church and you're in San Antonio, this could be your church, right, everybody? Amen. Along those same lines, would you check in on your social media devices? Tell people that you're glad that you're at Living Faith Church. Say something of faith. Amen. Take a picture of your bulletin. Take a selfie of yourself. I checked in a moment ago at our first service, and you can do the same. Spread the gospel. Spread the message about Christ, that he loves people and you love them. A moment ago, I was with a brother, and he said, you know, my truck got broken into. Would you pray? He said, don't pray for the stuff I lost. Pray for the people that stole something. Because Jesus said to pray for your enemies and pray for... And he had a heart. And, you know, possessions are going to go. Amen. What matters are souls, right, everybody? And the man had a heart for people today. Amen. A couple of things I need to tell you about. I want you to attend a summer group. Not a summer group, a small group this week. You can look on our website, livingfaithsa.org. When you look at that website, you'll be able to see anything that pertains to you. There'll be a small group for men this week that will meet actually tomorrow, Man Up Monday. It's in the bulletin on the announcements also. There's a ladies groups that meet. There are different types of groups that meet throughout the week. You can be part of it. You say, well, I don't have anything that interests me. Well, why don't you begin a group? Maybe you're that one that begins the group. And, well, what do I have to do? It doesn't take much. Just maybe two or three people are gathered with you. And sometimes it's a group that you guys are working out. You're doing different things. Or maybe you're a jogging group. Maybe you're a Bible journal group. There are those that meet. Be part of a group. It's the part of Living Faith Church that's where you really grow. That's the part of Living Faith Gathers. We gather today. But you grow in a small group because you're accountable and you see more. You build a relationship. You can't build accountability in this size room. Amen. Am I going to tell you about what I did yesterday, sinful? Am I going to do that? Neither are you. That'd be weird, right? Crocodile tears, forgive me. But I will probably tell that to my brothers that are with me, amen, in a small group. And you need to do the same, amen? That's where life comes from. Be part of a small group. The second thing I need to tell you about, another small group that we'll meet, is this coming Wednesday night. And we'll do the Church's Left of Building, Be the Church. We do that every end of the month, and we do that in our student center. We meet there to pray, and then we go out into the highways and byways. Jesus said to do that, right? And we spread the gospel. This coming Wednesday, I just need people that are with me that will love people. If you can love somebody, and if you're going to be all ugly and you can't love anybody, stay at home, please. But if you're coming with me, would you let me know, because I have an assignment to give you. I have some stuff that I need done so you can, it's easy, but it's not, and you can do it, and I need to know if you're on board with me. Again, if you're part of that, show up, and if you're not, stay at home. Be a blessing there. I don't think the Spurs are playing, right, Wednesday night, and if they are and you're staying home to watch them, in the name of Jesus, your big screen's going to blow up. Give me a good amen. Just throw that at you, just for a little bit more hate. You know, hey, besides hate here, why don't you go ahead and turn towards your neighbor and say, I love you, or say something of faith, amen. If you don't have anybody to tell, I love you, say, I love you. Thank God. I love you too, hon, amen. Irma, start the car. Nobody loves me today, amen. Yeah, amen. Thank you. I love you. Love you too, amen. That's my cousin, Crazy Carlos. Crazy Carlos came to church. Amen. That's my cousin. No, he didn't. I'm messing. Y'all clap for anything. Amen. We're in our relationship series, Song of Solomon. We're going verse by verse, and we're breaking down. In chapter 1, the very first series, we did the attraction and what it is to be attracted to one another, how to stay attractive, because we want to stay attractive, how we can attract each other in God in relationship series. And that's chapter 1 of Song of Solomon. The second part was two weeks ago, we did dating, and we did the biblical courtship, how it looked in chapter 2 of Song of Solomon. And we played the song At Last by Etta James, how she sang that song so beautifully. And that was dating and what it is, biblical principles for courtship, that we brought it into the 21st century and we're applying the Bible. Chapter 3, we're not going to do that because it's the wedding and it's very short and it's just chapter 3. And at that wedding, though, do you know what's cool about it? Solomon had 60 groomsmen and they all had swords because they were protecting his purity and they were protecting her purity. Isn't that good? So that's a mighty, it wasn't one of these bachelor parties where they were going to go to Vegas for one last weekend or her bridesmaids doing a big party all night long. It was, no, we're going to protect your purity. And that's the way it should look, right? Again, a weak amen. And I'm going to need some amens without me saying amen. Amen. So you're going to need to help me. Good. We're in chapter 4 and it's the honeymoon night. They're at the Marriott. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
This is what godly intimacy looks like when we look at it. Next week, there'll be trouble in paradise because it's their fight. They have this fight. But we're going to show you the rules of engagement, how to fight fair in marriage, what to do when there's trouble and there's conflict, and how to work through that and stay strong. Thank God that Irma and I still fight, but we've chosen to fight fair most of the time. The other day, nobody's going to push me around. And, you know, she had to say, you know, get up and fight like a man and get out from underneath the bed. Amen. Because I was hiding. And, you know, just I was praying. Amen. Jesus, please. Amen. Yeah. And finally, 3 weeks from this Sunday, I'm doing something a little bit different. And I'll be here because I want to learn. Irma will be here because we want to learn. We're bringing in a marriage expert called Tim Russo. Tim Russo is a marriage guru. He's a great pastor that formerly was. Now all he does is relationships, and he's a great counselor, and is a great man of God. And he loved the series, and he heard about it. And he said, you know what, I kind of do a little bit of a spin with Al Green, Let's Stay Together. The last series will be Enduring Love, Lifelong Love, and the brother can sing also. So he's going to sing, Tim Russo, and he'll be part. I want you to make sure that you're bringing people that Sunday, but especially even next week, because it's the trouble in paradise, it's the conflict, fight fair. Many of us know marriages that are in trouble. Some of our marriages might be, but you need to bring a couple that says, you know what, would you give your marriage one more shot? Would you come to Living Faith Church? There's an anointing in this room today to save marriages. There's an anointing that we would walk with each other. There might be an anointing for those that are beginning relationships. You need to say, you know what, you're not what I'm looking for. Bye. Amen. And that's okay too right now if you're dating. But if you're married today, God has the best for you in mind today. And I want you to have that. This series is for everyone. Make sure that you're part every week. Don't miss 1 week. You miss a lot. I missed last week and I missed a lot. I did. I missed a lot. I missed you. I missed a lot. You miss 1 week, you miss a lot. Don't miss a week at Living Faith Church. Yes?
Amen.
Song of Solomon, the most wonderful song on the big screen. We've used this as our scripture. 1 through 3, I believe. And it says this, and she's talking and she says this, cover me with what?
Kisses.
Aren't kisses good? Not from a bunch of people, because that would be weird, right? But from one person. And she has that one person in mind, and that's her husband, Solomon. It says, for your love is better than... And she is literally saying, hon, nobody loves better than you. The way you love people, not so much intimately, but how you treat people. The way you treat people at Living Faith Church. The way you treat people at HEB. The way you treat the next door neighbor. You know the art of loving, and it's better than wine, right, everybody? Your perfume smells wonderful, but your name is sweeter than the best perfume. And when you see the name, it's like your anointing, your presence, your name, the name, your name represents. Your very being shows that what you're doing, it just smells, the room just, it doesn't stink up when you walk in, but it smells better because you walk in. Isn't that good? And that's why all the women, young women, love you. Said, but they love you, but you're all mine, right? Everybody, she was saying that. Now, the Bible is very graphic. But the Bible's probably not as graphic as HBO, a rated R movie. The Bible's not as graphic as even primetime TV at 7 on ABC, NBC, and the rest of the CBSs or whatever they're called today. The Bible's graphic. The Bible's real because it believes it shows us what romance is, what biblical marriage intimacy looks like, and I'm grateful for the Bible. How about you today? Yeah, I want to follow guidelines that we followed along for the last 3 weeks and are this. I want you to hear for yourself. Don't hear for your wife. Don't hear for your neighbor. Don't hear for, I wish she would have come. Don't hear for your spouse. Don't hear, you hear for yourself. This is for you. So I don't hear anybody saying, amen. Speak to her, Jesus. Speak to him. He's a loser. Speak to him. He's an idiot. No. Don't need to say that. Don't be making these eyes because they'll ricochet on you. Maybe you'll be stuck that way. Amen. Don't be stuck that way. Te vas a poner así. My mama used to tell me, no hace esa cara así. You know, I mean, I have the Spanish anointing. Amen. La sangre de Cristo. Amen. I don't need to make my eyes that way. The second thing is, don't look back too much during this series. God has a new beginning for all of us in this room, right? Don't look back. Amen. From this day forward, all of us have a past in this room. All of us in this room have something that we, man, I hope the church never finds out I did that in 1968 or 72, right? Because you wouldn't want me preaching, right? And I wouldn't want you in this church, right? Yeah, we all have some junk on us, so thank God for forgiveness. That's why I love Jesus so much. Because he forgives me and he tells me, you know, he instructs me in his word, stop acting like a fool and start change, do things right. I love you that much. Mario, will you change? Yes, Lord, I'm going to change. I'm going to be better, right? Amen. I'm going to grow in the things of God. I'm going to mature, right, everybody? We're on the same journey. Amen. Great series. Great playlist. Nothing like great music. Amen. Love songs set the mood. Amen. It helps you stay together. Amen. Love songs. Amen. Nothing like an Al Green song, right, that we'll hear probably in a couple of weeks today. Unchained Melody, one of those great love songs. And, of course, the Righteous Brothers made it famous. I pulled Boyce Avenue because of the acousticness, and they don't really have a good YouTube thing for Righteous Brothers. It doesn't sound as good. They do on Ghost. Remember that movie Ghost? She's making that pottery, but that's kind of gets that's rated X. Amen. We don't show something. You know, the pottery goes everywhere. Amen. That put that song back on the map. And Unchained Melody, when they the definitive version is powerful by the Righteous Brothers. This guy named Bobby Hatfield, he sang it, and they said, you know what, about his voice during that song, it's powerful. It's full of romantic hunger, yet it's fragile. It's a vocal tour de force. And if you ever hear that song, and if you ever watch the Ghost movie, I mean, you see the intimacy of it, and you see how it's been. So it's been sung a lot. It's been sung in over 670 languages. It's probably a record, right? There's like 1,500 recordings of it that artists have made. And, of course, if you go to YouTube, you'll see a bunch of them today. And it's just a great song that was originally made actually for a prison movie. Do you believe that? Just a little fun fact. They made this movie called, in the 1950s, called Unchained. And they sang that as the theme because the man wanted to get out of jail to go see his wife. Now you see it, right? And at the end of the movie, he doesn't get out of jail because he doesn't scale the wall and escape to go see her because he knows he's probably going to get shot and he has to go. And then it's kind of sad. He goes back to bars. But that's not you, right? Amen? You get to see her today. Amen? You get to be with that one that you've been waiting for if you're single in this room. Now, first and foremost, did you know that the devil didn't create sex? He didn't. God did. Do you know when God walked by the Garden of Eden and he told them, be fruitful and multiply? And when he walked by and they were in the bushes, Adam and Eve, and he said, oh, no, oh, me, my, oh, my, me. He didn't say that. He said, oh, what are you doing? He said, yeah, right on. Yeah, I would say something else, but I got to keep this rated PG. Amen. God created sex, and so we can learn from his principles how to transform your marriage and how to take it to the next level. Now, it's going to be kind of weird. Sometimes you're going to say, should I say amen? And just go ahead and do that. We're at Living Faith, amen? We're not some, you know, stiff-necked. We're a church, amen? So if you say amen, now if you say amen at the wrong time and everybody looks at you like a weirdo, welcome to the club. Give me a good amen. the church has been silent too long, and the devil has done something to pervert sex, and they've almost written their own script, and they have with movies, and they think, you know what, you got to look like this script, so like this movie, so you can have love. And so we watch movies, and we say, that's how love looks. And they fell in love in 90 minutes, and you're not going to do that. And love looks this graphic way, and this they do it this way, so we got to copy it this way. And God is saying, no, do it my way. Amen, it's better. There are consequences for not following God's ways. How many of you recognize that? God's ways are blessed. The world cannot provide the blessings of God. God's love towards us was to create for us. God loved you so much that he could have put physical intimacy not in your life today. That feeling that you have, that ecstasy that you have. And he put it in you as an extra thing in you. And he didn't have to do it, but I believe he did it for a purpose, which I'll speak at. When he created you, it was beautiful, your creation. He said, you know what? I'm just going to put a little bit more into them, and I'm going to put some intimacy in their lives that they can have with one woman, one man, forever in the bonds of matrimony. And that's what he intended to do. Do you know that God never intended that you would feel guilty during marital intimacy, that you would think it was sinful, but rather a divine blessing? Can I hear a good amen on that one? Amen. So within the covenant of marriage, we can even be part, it should be part of our spiritual lives to be intimate in marital relationships today. You see it as a gift from God, and it really is a gift of God. The ecstasy and the joy that you feel during physical intimacy, during sex, is this. It's a foretaste of what you will see when you see Jesus face to face finally. And I know you didn't hear that, but you need to hear it again. When you feel that ecstasy and that feeling that you have of climax, it is that face-to-face meeting one day that you'll have with Christ. Christ put that in, God put that in you when he created you, because one day you're going to see the ultimate. You're going to see Jesus face-to-face. And all this time you've been waiting. You said, you know what, I'm going to give them a foretaste of that, and it's found when they're finally one, because you'll finally be one with Jesus. There's my bride. When can I go get her, Daddy? When can I go get her? I only know the time, and I only know the time and the place that you're going to go get her, but I'm getting everything ready. I'm building her a big house. I'm putting a mansion together. For 2,000 years I've been building this mansion called for the bride of Christ, and he has the house almost ready. Amen. And he's waiting for the Father to say, go get your bride, which is the church, and we'll see Jesus face to face. Right, everybody? I'm preaching better than your amen, but that's okay. Amen. There are people that have prayed before sex and after sex, and they're probably in this church. Lord, help me. Amen. Help her. Amen. And help me. And is that wrong? I don't think so. I think it's good. Amen. Because it's a spiritual act when you're married. Right, everybody? God's way is wonderful. I want you to walk in the principles of God today and the blessings of God. Isn't it obvious that men and women are different? You can look at them and see that they're different, right? And the difference is by God's design. Irma and I don't see eye to eye at times. And I've told you this before, just like you probably don't see eye to eye with your husband and your wife today. But we've chosen, when we fight in fellowship intensively, that we're going to agree to disagree, amen, and stay together and stay married, right? And I go, Lord, why did you make her so different? Why'd you make her so different? Lord, why'd you make her so different? And I think God tells me, like he told Adam in the garden, you know, God said to Adam, why did you make Eve so beautiful? And the Lord told Adam, so you would love her. And why did you make her so, and then Adam says, Lord, why did you make her so dumb? And then, so she would love you. Yeah, and that buzzing noise ruined the joke, but that was my stomach, amen, I'm hungry, amen. That happened in the second service, first service too, I don't know what's up, amen. Intimacy at the highest level, you never stop. Why are we different? Because intimacy at the highest level is you never stop discovering who she is or who he is. It's a lifelong journey. There are people that have been widowed in our congregation. And you think back, like, I still didn't know her. I still didn't realize who he was. I didn't realize. And it's a lifelong journey understanding each other and walking with each other in love today. The greatest intimacy, all they are is two servants that are in love. You walk with it, you're serving each other and you're loving each other. That's the greatest intimacy, that you can be in love and you're serving each other when it comes to sexual intimacy. They say that when it comes to sexual intimacy, men are microwaves, right? You've heard of that, right? You're like, you're sight-oriented. They say a man can be ready for sexual intimacy in 7 seconds. That's the lion, amen? King of the jungle, right? Sounded like a cub, but I did my best lion, amen? Women, crockpots. I love crockpots. How many of you? That brisket's going to be tender when we get home, amen? The carnitas, amen, all day long, amen? Women are crockpots, and they need to hear it. No, not now. Go light a candle. Go take a shower, amen? Put on some Al Green, amen? But men, we're ready, amen? Are you ready for takeoff, amen? Buckle in, amen. Put your suitcases in the above board, amen. Trays above. Let's get ready to take off. I'm going to give you principles today, seat belts today, that you can have for your marriage. And then even if you're a single adult, what you look for and what you do. Again, the greatest book in the world is the Bible. It teaches you principles on even how to make love today. Song of Solomon for the Message Bible says this. Now, before this, she is spoken 75% of the time. 75%. Isn't that a gift from God? Amen. One lady said amen. Amen. He speaks 11 verses before he touches her. Before he even touches her, he just speaks a little bit, but she speaks a lot. And that's a good principle for us men to have. And he listens to her without falling asleep. Thank you, Jesus, right? If you fell asleep, don't hit him right now in the ribs, amen? Remember, there's rules here. It says, you're beautiful, my darling. You're so beautiful. What woman wouldn't want to hear that? Your dove eyes. Notice how he's looking at her. It's from the top down. Give me a good amen. He begins at her eyes. He's not checking her out anywhere else. He's not checking, you know, anything out. But he's looking at her from the top up. And he's saying, you're veiled by your hair as it flows and it shimmers. Are y'all with me on the screen? Yes? It's like a flock of goats that are distant, streaming down the hillside. So I don't encourage any guy to pick up line like that, right? Hey, baby, your hair looks like a flock of goats. Don't tell her that, amen, and it will turn up. Solomon meant in the Old Testament, they had these royal goats that had long hair, long-haired goats, and they were raven-haired, black-haired. And so when they had come down the hill, they were like shimmering because the light would hit them. In the black hair that they would have, it would almost look like it was moving and illuminating. So it's real beautiful. And he says, your hair. So finally her hair was up, and she did the barrette and pulled it down, and it was something like this. And so he was saying, baby, let it down. Let that hair down, baby. Right? That's what he's telling her. That's not me. That's the Bible, okay? Continue. Are y'all ready to go? Here we go. Continue. Said next group. Your smile is so generous and full of expression, strong. And she had good breath, praise the Lord. And she had all her teeth. She wasn't a hockey player, right? Your lips are jewel red. Your mouth is elegant and inviting. Your veiled cheeks are soft and radiant. Your smooth lines, the neck command notice. All heads turn in awe and admiration. Everybody was looking, man, look how fine she looks. But he was telling her really how gorgeous that she was. Before it gets physical, he was telling her, this is how much you mean to me. He was speaking blessing. And so the thought is, godly sex is just affirming. It's encouraging. It's saying something of value. It uplifts, right, everybody? By your words, you are building. By your words, you are blasting somebody. By your words, you are cursing. By your words, you are blessing somebody. And we want to be the blesser part, right, everybody? Man of God in this room, it's who she is. It's her beauty. Don't make the wrong comment. Don't ever make the wrong comment when she's looking at herself in the mirror. Does this make me look fat? No, it doesn't, honey. You look beautiful. Amen? Lie in the name of Jesus. Amen? Before it gets physical, you speak the blessing. Give me a good amen. Women of God in this room, ladies of faith, I know you're still on fire from coming back from the ladies' retreat. Can I hear some ladies of faith shout into God? Amen. Yeah. Took your journey of faith. Amen. You brought the fire back. Amen. Women of the Lord, it's what he does. It's his accomplishments. You notice, amen, the way he cuts the grass, how hard he works to put food on the table, how he blesses the children, how he gives them baths, amen, sometimes because you're tired and he does the dishes and you notice his accomplishment. Well, my husband's not that. Well, you speak what they're not by faith. and they become it. Amen. That's what God did over your life. Amen. He saw something that was full of sin, and he still loved you. Amen. And he died for you. And he spoke that what wasn't, and he spoke it into being. And look at the. I do that to you guys all the time. I said, you guys are a generous church. You're awesome, man. This is the greatest church in the world. I build you up, right? You wicked sinners, come to this altar and repent. You know what you did. I wouldn't be too popular, right? But you build people and you bless them, even the hard talk. Jesus was so full of love, he taught us how to do that. Remember Jesus and the woman caught in adultery? Everybody started dropping the rocks they were going to throw at the lady. He said, the one without sin, hey, throw the first stone. And that lady is left there, just him and she's a sinner. She's caught in adultery, probably a prostitute. And he says to her, he says, you know what? Where are your accusers? He says, none of them are here, Lord. And what a beautiful scripture, right? I didn't think I'd lose it on that one. And he tells her, he said, you know what? Neither do I accuse you. He loved her. And you know what? She became one of Jesus' closest followers. Remember Simon Peter? All the cussing he did, all the putting his foot in his mouth, all the big mouth that he was. You know what he told him? He said, Peter, you're not this little pebble anymore. You're this rock. And upon this rock, upon you, we're going to build the church, Peter. You're going to do a great job. Peter still messed up, but God still believed in him, right? Do it Jesus style. We put words. And if I'm sensing so much right now, like, hey, we didn't do it right. I've been saying all this stuff, and it's been hurting my spouse. It's okay to begin again. It's okay to try again. Would you allow your husband, would you allow your wife to have the grace of God today in this room? Because no one's arrived to say, hey, we can try again. We can say the right things today. Amen. We come into this house just for an assignment that God has for us. Just you right now hearing from God. Let me continue. It says this scripture because I want to read it with you. It says your breasts are like fawns. In other words, these two little deer, and they're in the pasture, they're in the meadow. And when you approach a deer, some of you guys that are hunters, you ain't brought Pastor Mario some of that good venison. I don't know where you guys have been. Amen. The Lord blesses you when you bring venison to pasture. Give me a good amen. Amen. Tacos tasted good. Amen. So you approach, you don't go, woo-hoo, deer. Those deers are going to get mad at you. Amen. But you approach it slowly. And that's where the pointer sister said, I want a man with a slow. You can say it in church. Come on. Amen. I don't know. Should I? They wrote a hit off that one because the approach is slow. Amen. They're twins of the gazelle. Gazelles among the spring flowers. Amen. God desires to make you one with your spouse. And he uses sex and intimacy to do it as one of his tools. It's not the only tool. We don't want to overrate it like society does. Because society has overrated it so much they created this porn industry. It's billions, and it's even more than the NFL brings in, more than the NBA brings in, more than Major League Baseball. It brings in more money, and they've overrated it. But you don't want to ignore it like religion, because religion is just this search. We don't want to do it religion way. We want to appreciate physical intimacy. Amen? Amen. There are four principles that I'll give you. Number one is this. Godly sex, somebody shout, is tender. Tender. Amen. Sexual satisfaction is not a right, but it's a blessing today. It's a blessing today. It's not a right. I notice about this Shulamite woman that he doesn't make her, you're going to fulfill all my fantasies because I'm going to make you that way. She's not a sex slave. Her primary role and his primary role were to serve each other. There was some tenderness about it. Now, I've gotten the questions through the years, what's appropriate in the marriage bed? Real transparent. And creative, be creative. God's a God of creativity. But how does your wife feel about it? And if she's not comfortable with it, then you need to value her heart and her tenderness about it. And you need to be tender back by saying, well, we're not going to do that. How does she feel about it today? Don't cheapen her after or before. Amen? Value her. And that's why Song of Solomon 4:6 says this, until day breaks all night. No. That wasn't Lionel Richie, amen, that wrote that. That was a Hebrew guy named Solomon. He wrote about all night long until day breaks. And that's exactly what it means. The shadows flee. I will go to the mountain of myrrh and the hill of incense. Notice there were two. That means it's exactly what you're thinking it means. It means two. Give me a good amen. And so it leads me to the second thought is godly sex is passionate. Yeah. If I really live for God, then he's going to take all my fun away. It's going to be boring. On the contrary, if you really live for God and you become a godly couple, amen, you'll have more passion than you've ever experienced in your life and you do it God's way. Amen. You don't know whether to say amen. You can say amen. Amen. See, what's wrong is the devil provides his counterfeit. It's his counterfeit passion. And you can flip, I'm thinking of flip phones. It shows how old I am. You can look at your phone and punch it up and say, that's some passion right there. No, it's an X-rated image that you're not supposed to be seeing right now. It's a different standard. And you try to live your wife to that standard that you're seeing a pornographic image or in your dating relationships, you're going to be let down pretty quick. And that's why the devil counterfeits everything and he perverts everything to take it away from God's gift. Pornography is just the wrong standard. Your bride is extraordinary. Your husband's extraordinary. They're matchless. Right, everybody? Jesus said this, come unto me. No, Jesus said this. He says, if you really want life, see, the devil's ripped you off. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. In the same context, same passage, he said this. I've come, he's done that, but I've come to give you life and life more. Big tray of abundancy. I'm bringing it to you. And that counts, of course, in your spiritual life here at Living Faith, in your servanthood life, but it also counts in your marriage intimacy. He wants you to have the best sex. He wants you to have the best intimacy because he's come to give life and life abundant to you today. Amen. It includes that today. Passion in marriage takes work. And I don't have to work for it anymore. I put a ring on her finger. I shouldn't have to work for it. That's exactly what you have to do. Don't stop working for it, right? It's not over. Amen. Couples that don't have sexual intimacy on a regular basis, they give Satan the advantage to enter their marriage and bring an excuse. And that person, often the man, brings an excuse for morality. Well, I'm hooked on porn, or I look at porn because she won't give it up. No, that's your problem. Don't blame her for your problem. Now, you should address the problem together of why y'all are staying apart, and you have to have a hard talk. But if he is looking at porn and he's blaming you, that's wrong. In Jesus' name, that's wrong. But he has to look at himself. But together, see, the devil loves to destroy marriages this way. And if you have intimacy on a regular basis, you keep the devil out. Amen. But you should have it because of everything we said. You need to watch part one, part two of the series to build on the... Is the grass greener on the other side? Somebody shout no.
No.
You just got to water your own grass. Water your lawn. Work on it today. Now, I'm going to give you two principles that really aren't found in your notes, but they're just... something good to hear. And I'm going to start ladies first. Ladies, these are what wives wish their husbands would figure out. All the ladies say amen.
Amen.
Communication is the key. Yeah, it's communication. And so husbands, choose your wives, choose your words carefully, and then choose how you respond, because your words bring life or death, as we've said in the power of the tongue. Does it bring honor or does it demean today? Amen. The chief dysfunction in failing marriages isn't sexual, it's verbal. It's because we don't have the right verbal talk to each other. Cuddling with no strings attached. When she says, all I want to do is just be held, you know what she means? Exactly that. She just wants to be held. It's nothing, well, can I go a little bit further? No, sometimes she just wants to be held, right, everybody? And we learn that, and we go on with our godly marriages that are passionate. Song of Solomon 4:7 on the screen says this. Let's read it together. You haven't had any fun all day. Let's read the Word of God, verse 7 on the screen. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. All beautiful are you, my darling. There is no flaw. Earlier in chapter 1, she says this. I am darkened by the sun. Do not look at me. And she has these insecurities. And he tells her, he said, no, you're beautiful just the way you are. Don't change a thing, just the way that you are beautiful. And he builds her and he blesses her. And he's still telling her, there's no flaw in you. And there's a spoken blessing because the passion is about to begin. Now, the percentage of American women that look at themselves in the mirror a lot, the percentage of American women that would change something about the way that they looked if they could, 99%. 99%. Something's different. And so we all have these insecurities as we approach the mirror and look at ourselves. But as a husband, you need to say, there's no flaw in you, baby. You're beautiful. Amen. You're the standard. Amen. And he spoke and believed that the standard was her, that there was no flaw in her today. Husbands, it's your turn now. Can I hear all the mighty men of God say amen?
Amen.
Amen. You did better in the first service today. Husbands, what they want their wives to know and to figure out, they want creativity. Amen. Put some candles on. Amen. Plan for the special moment. Invite him to lunch someday and say, hey, we're going to go to the casa because the kids are at school. Amen. And we're going to have a special lunch at home. Amen. Be creative. Be fun. Amen. Make it an experience rather than a duty, right? The other thing that a man would want you to know, a husband would want you to know, is frequency. And that I know that that's no earth-shattering revelation. Amen. The marital act, you know, is it on the menu? Is it even an appetizer? Is it going to happen today? Are we going to have a little, you know, is there something of regularity that you can celebrate? Is it on the calendar? Amen. Is it going to happen in the lifetime? Amen. Is it going to happen in the next, you know what I'm saying, right? Wives, give me a good amen. Wives, come on, we get it, right? I used an example here to bring it, and because of the film and the camera and that sort of thing. Imagine a wife today that you were immobilized and you couldn't move, but your husband could move. So he had to get you things, you know, feed and so forth. Well, this particular day, you're really thirsty, but you're immobilized and you're sitting and you just can't reach, but your husband can reach and you're really thirsty and you tell him, honey, I just want a little bit of water. Just can I have a little bit of water? And he goes, you know what? I just got in. I'm kind of tired. The game's on. The NBA championship's on. We want to watch the game. Just can you kind of wait just for a little bit? But I'm really thirsty now, and I really need some water. Just kind of, you know, fourth quarter's about to happen. At 2 minute warning, I can't leave the game. Just can you give me a minute, babe? Just okay. So the night goes on, and you know, she's still there and waiting for some water and just wanting a little bit of water. And the next day goes on, and now she's really thirsty and says, I just want a little bit of water. I'm dying of thirst. Just give me a little bit, please. He goes, you know what? Right now I have a headache and I just can't. I can't. I have a headache and I'm real tired and my back hurts. And please, not now, not now, not now. And now she's angry. I just want some water. Give me a little bit of water. Give me a little bit of water. And he says, you know what? Okay, but I'm just going to give you a little bit of water, and you better not ask for anymore the rest of the month. This is only water that you're getting the rest of the week. This is it. So you better be happy about it as you drink this water. So she drinks the water, and she's all bitter, hating, because she realized what she had to go through to just get a little bit of water. And it's not even fun anymore. It's not passion anymore. Do you understand that? And can I hear a good amen?
Amen.
Yeah. That's why it's so important, frequency. Give me a good amen. Wifey, you come to bed in that space suit. No, in the name of Jesus. There's a lock on it. I know it's cold, but warm up the room. Give the space. Yeah, every now and then it's good, right, everybody? I better move on before I get in trouble. Number three, godly sex. Somebody shout secure. There's no shame. He makes her feel secure. I make her feel secure. He makes me feel secure. I'm valued by him. I'm valued by her. And there's this value that just brings security. And it's like a fortress in your relationship of protection. Song of Solomon 4:9, you've stolen my heart, my sister. It's kind of weird, Old Testament talk. But then he says, my bride, which is good, right? You've stolen my heart at one glance with your eyes, one jewel from your necklace. How delightful your love, my sister, my bride. How much pleasing is your love better than wine? There it is again, the fragrance of your perfume. And more special than any spice. And he says this, the first physical contact begins to happen after all, chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. He doesn't touch her until then, physically. He speaks to her, and he says, your lips, the drops of sweetness as the honeycomb, my bride, milk and honey are under your tongue. Now, what that describes is the first physical contact. It's a kiss, but it's not only a kiss. It's a thing called the French kiss. And the French have lied because they stole that. And that Bible was written a long time ago, but even before French were a nation, France was a nation. And so this is called a Jewish kiss. And aren't you glad we have a good God and a cool God? Yeah. God invented the Jewish kiss. Amen. So have you tried that out lately? Amen. And it's real. It's in the Bible today. I get asked sometimes about dating and the counseling that we do for premarital couples that are about to, you know, how far is too far? And you know, God never intended for you to have to put the brakes on in physical intimacy. See, your body doesn't know that you're not married. That's why the brakes should never even have to be put on, because you're not entering something that you have to, I have to stop. Because sometimes that train's not going to stop. And so the Jewish picture is lighting a fire but letting it burn. And if it's going to burn out of control, then it's going to cause damage. But if it confines itself within the borders, it's something very beautiful that can keep you warm. Do you understand that today? So that's why when you speak to your children about not the birds and the bees, but the reality of Song of Solomon, or your grandchildren, and you have to have that talk, but why not you? Because it's not going to be done on, it shouldn't be done on television. And then you need to teach them about, you shouldn't even be put in that position when you're having to put the brakes on and pull back, because God intended you to go all the way in the marriage covenant. And so that's what is, that's safe sex. That's godly sex, right? God, it demands a completion to be done when you're fully engaged as a married couple. Is that cool with everybody? And so godly sex is secure. Finally, the scripture would be in 4:12. Why don't you read that with me again? 4:12 here on the screen in your handout. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3, go. You are a garden locked up, my sister, my bride. A sealed fountain. In other words, he said, you waited for me. That precious gift of virginity, you waited for me. And you might say, well, I couldn't live up to that, Pastor, as a man. I couldn't live up to that as a woman in this room because of what happened and where my past has been. And I'm not naive enough to say I'm speaking to a bunch of virgins in this room. But you know what I am speaking to? A bunch of holy people. Which leads me to the last point, number 4. Godly sex is holy. And I'm so glad that this is in there for us today. Because holy people aren't perfect. Holy people are forgiven by God, just like you and I. They're forgiven. Holy people are forgiven by God. And then we learn so much from Jesus. We're disciples and we follow him and our life transforms and we become men of God. We become women of God. And we're not known really that we're holier than thou, but there's a difference about you. There's a different standard about you because you follow Jesus. And the righteous get up again. Amen? Not after 500 times, but they get up again. Amen? The blood of Jesus makes you holy. And the blood of Jesus makes you forgiven. So from this day forward, how many know God is the standard? He's the standard. So how am I going to get to holiness? You're going to get to holiness by saying, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean. What happens after that? Does God shoot me so I can go to heaven? No, he wants you to work out relationships here on this earth. That's why you're married to each other. And so you're reading God's word. Lord, let me know the word of God so I know how to do marriage right. And what do I do after that, after I read God's word? Well, then you're full of the Holy Spirit. You're full of the Holy Spirit. Daily, Lord, fill me with your spirit. So I'm not reacting full of this, but I'm reacting full of your spirit. And in marriage too, right, everybody? And the Holy Spirit empowers you, amen? And that's why the church is so important, because we're reading God's word today. And so you can leave this place clean, pure, amen, and with a new beginning. Give me a good amen. Amen. And that's us today. I can't help but to not escape the media that we see at 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock on the news. There are more lawsuits about what has happened with people that have been sexually abused or touched inappropriately or done something wrong. And the church needs to come and be that voice today and say, this is a place that is a refuge. This is a place that we teach the way we should live. We teach our young people this in this church, right, everybody? We're the standard today. It's not the world today. Song of Solomon 4:15, as we conclude the final scripture today, it says this. And he is speaking, but she is getting ready to interrupt. And I'm going to tell you right where she interrupts, because he's spoken blessings to her. And he says this, you are a garden fountain. Are you there with me? A well of flowing water streaming down from Lebanon. And she has had enough of his blessing. Now she wants to bless him. Guys, we get it, right? He is verbal to her. In the previous words, right before that second sentence, is this. The previous words, don't awake it. Don't wake it up, because it's going to be wildfire. if it wakens up. You're going to have to pull back. And you don't want to do that. But now they're married, honeymoon night. And she says this. She interrupts. She says, she begins to speak. Awake, north wind, and come. And it's a gentle wind. It's a south wind. Blow on my garden. The fragrance may spread everywhere. Let my beloved come into it. It's yours, baby. This is yours. Amen. She's telling him. It's exactly what it means, right? My beloved is coming to his garden and taste its choice fruits. There's a better level of intimacy than the world has. Do you recognize that? The world has copied it and it's done wrong and their concept of stuff is wrong. And God's way is better. Amen. We used to think as people that didn't know Christ, sex is about all I can get and all I can get my satisfaction on. And as a child of God today, as people that are discovering as we're walking with God today, as a man of God, as a woman of God in this room, you're discovering that sex is serving each other in the marriage bed, that you're giving to each other. Withholding sex as a punishment is the wrong way by threats, and it's not God's way of doing with his people today. The marriage bed should be a place of servanthood, not selfishness today. There are no sexual experts here at Living Faith Church. There are just children of God discovering each other, one woman, one man, in covenant of marriage for a lifetime. That's all we're doing today. Amen. And that's what we're discovering today. Amen. I'm going to give you one more thought, and it's found in your notes today. Those of you on Facebook, look at your notes today. God's way isn't just right. It's better. Amen. Did you receive God's word today? God bless his word today. Let's exalt the word of God right now. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the full counsel. Thank you for the Old and New Testament, Lord. Thank you for the full counsel of your word today. It guides me. It illuminates my path, Lord. It helps us with our marriage. I'm going to pray for you, but I want you to pray too in a moment today. Nothing hard, but right now you can pray in a moment. Prayer is the most intimate thing that you can do on this earth to have relationship with God. You thought that was? No. Prayer is the most intimate thing that you can do of all your relationships that you can have on this earth. Communion and speaking to God and spending time with Jesus is the most intimate thing that you can do on this earth. In a moment, you can do that right now. Not a hard thing. God's waiting. He's knocking on the door. Father, I lift up the marriages at Living Faith Church. And I thank you, Lord. God, you are for every marriage, Lord, today. Thank you for your touch upon them today. I want to pray for the single people, single adults, the young people in this room. Lord, we're going to be protected by your word today. Lord, protect our young people today. We're going to instruct them, Lord, and they're going to learn, God, and I thank you, the principles of God, not to do it the world's way. I want you to receive the best as a single adult today in this room today. Receive God's, follow his way. Sin is not the way. God's way is the best today. If you're married today, would you hold your spouse's hand right now? Grab her hand, grab his hand right now. I pray for the grace of God right now to be upon every relationship. No one has arrived in this room. No one's an expert, Lord. The man is messed up. The woman is messed up, Lord, in your sight today. We've all done wrong today, Lord. We haven't done it right today. But I pray now that we would have grace towards each other to try again, to have an effort again. Light the fire, Lord, that there'd be no counterfeit, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I speak life more than ever before the marriages. Breathe on them, Lord. Build strong marriages so we have strong church. Strong, mighty marriages so we have a mighty church in this room. Thank you, Lord. I break the power of adultery right now as two are united, wherever two or three are gathered, Lord. One can put 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000, or 10,000 right now. Demonic demons running adultery. Go right now. Fornication, pornography, all the lies of the devil. Thank you, God. We cast them away from the presence of every marriage in the name of Jesus. We fight for the marriages at Living Faith Church. What God has brought together, let no man put asunder in Jesus' name. Thank you from this day forward, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You're in this room today and you're recognizing you're far from God. The most intimate thing that you can do to have a relationship with any person is to have a relationship with God in this room today. You're far away from God today. You have a simple prayer that you can make. And I prayed it, you can pray it. I prayed it, and I'll pray it again right now. But if you want that in your life today, pray this prayer right now out loud and say this: Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean, Lord. I've sinned so much, and you died for my sins, every one of them, my past, my present, even my future sins. I cannot believe that you love me this way, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'll live for you, Lord. I'll change my ways. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Fill your people with the Holy Spirit now. Thank you, Lord. Number 624, the high Aaron priestly blessing. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you and give you his peace. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord for new life at Living Faith Church.